进来。
Enable Wi-Fi, then smart family. Connect to it. What's, is this all sorted now?
Should be all sorted, yes.
Okay. Okay.
All right. 2 minutes, Pastor Ernie? 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
What are our
hands? Well, they'll be on the screen in a minute, Pastor Ernie. Yeah.
Okay.
Good evening, everyone. Can everyone hear? Okay.
Yes, we can hear.
Okay.
The number of the amps. So
I'll just switch the slide when it's okay. Time.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the camera you need to stand. See?
Okay. All right.
Maybe you could, is this okay if we do this? If we kind of, is it possible to like go diagonal so you can...
Like this?
Yeah. I don't know whether it's like this. Oh no, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just...
Good evening, dearly beloved. Let's now start our worship service this evening. Shall we sing the first psalm, which is Psalm 65. Psalm 65, verse 1 to 5. No, no words. Okay. If you have your hymn book there, Sister Lorna and others, we can sing it. You can sing with us, as Brother Dowell will lead us now in our tune. Psalm 65, verses 1 to 5.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, there's no words in it, but we'll just sing it. Those who know it in the church, in the worship room. Okay, can you give us the key? Let's pray. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. And unto thee shall the vow be performed, O thou that hearest prayer. Unto thee all flesh come. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he might dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, with the land of thy holy temple. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together into thy house of worship where thy dwellest, O Lord. Our hearts longs for thy presence, O Lord, and longs for thy continuous drawing power to us, Lord, so that, Lord, our whole focus now is focus on thee, to thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Please, Lord, continue to draw us closer to thee this evening, that if there is anything amiss in our hearts or any sins that is remaining unconfessed, please, Lord, be merciful and gracious to us, to forgive us and cleanse us from all our sins. And thank you for the precious blood of the Lord, of the Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ, who can wash away our sins to the uttermost. And thank you that you can now prepare our hearts to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to behold thy glorious, majestic presence and holiness and righteousness. Thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. Please speak to us. Please magnify thy name, not only in our place of worship, in our midst. Please continue, Lord, to enable us to take in that glorious, majestic holiness of our God with reverence and fear of thee, O Lord. Help us to humble ourselves before thee, that we need thee every hour, O Lord. Every hour we need thee. Because unless you bless us, O Lord, we cannot do anything. And even in our worship tonight, unless you humble us before thee and recognize thy sovereign rule in our lives, please, Lord, take charge of our whole self, whole being, and take charge of the whole worship experience in this place. And may all our inner being be focused on thee, drawing us to yourself, and apply ourselves to thy glorious truths, that you might reveal to us the great purposes and plans for our lives, to be a joyful, worshiping people, expecting thy blessings tonight, that we might be drawn more closer to thee and a deeper knowledge of thy grace and thy truths about thyself. Lord, continue to draw us to these glorious truths, that we might be an obedient children of thine, and to be looking towards extolling thee, and to be drawing unto thy face, thy unveiled face, through your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, fulfill thy great promises to us tonight, that through thy words there is blessings awaiting by thy people. Please work mightily tonight to the outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. Speak to all of us, O Lord, especially those who are listening outside of our worship place, even by Zoom, Lord. Please save their souls. Draw continually their attention to the person of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who can save sinners to the uttermost. And so, dear Father God, be pleased to hear our prayer, so that more people will listen with great attention, and to the effect that their souls will be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll now sing our next hymn. which is in the, it should be in the redemption hymnal, or Christian hymn 620 in the Christian hymn. Will you please turn with me on the small hymn book, 620, the Shepherd of Israel and Mine. 620. Yeah. On the Christian hymns. Joel to read our text for tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 13 to all the way to chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Second Corinthians chapter 3.
And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by a manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ crucified. But Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
We will now come to our third hymn. Which is Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, and afterwards going to verse 12 to 16. Psalm 33, I should say. Psalm 33, please. Verses 1 and 2, and then all the way up, moving up from verse 12 to 16. Yeah.
me choose the Lord from heaven. Jesus and behold all sons of men full well. He views all from his dwelling place that in the earth could dwell.
Verse 15.
He forms their hearts like they are, and all their goings he observes. Great hosts save not a king must strength, no mighty man reserves.
Thank you. We'll come now to the Word of God. The text that was read before us is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verses 12 to chapter 4 up to verses 1 to 6. We'll focus our attention this evening on chapter 3, 2 Corinthians, verse 18. This is where we all focus our attention. The rest of the scriptures are tied together in this very important message. Let's pray before we go into this text, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Heavenly Father, we come to this point now in reading thy holy word. Please undertake our total lack of knowledge and understanding. Grant us wisdom through the help of thy Holy Spirit and humble ourselves before you, that whatever you will show in this text tonight, O Lord, humble us before thee. Where there is sin and failures, and many failures upon what you're about to say to us from this text, Lord, forgive us and cleanse us from our many sins. Thank you for the way that you are undertaking to bring our attention tonight so that we will be brought to that full knowledge and security of our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Forgive us for the many times in which we failed to acknowledge thee, O Lord, in this very important message, O Lord, of beholding the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us now, even at this very moment, speak to us. For this is something that we need to learn on a daily basis. And tonight, Lord, most of all, thank you for showing to us this is an important message of yours, that we might deepen our knowledge of thee, as not only as our Creator, as our Savior, but the God who daily walks with us and wants to deepen our knowledge of Him, who is the author and the finisher of faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, minister to our needs. Forgive us for our many failures to recognize this need. Speak tonight, Lord, and meet every spiritual need of thy people. The need to really deepen our need to repent of our sin and our desire, Lord, to improve our total dependence upon thy grace and thy mercy. For we need this every hour. Every hour we need thee, O Lord. And we pray that you will continue to also to speak to those who are yet to be saved outside of this room and even inside other churches. And even at this very moment, we are even not even sure of their salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Please, Lord, complete that which are lacking in us tonight in thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I ask to turn with me this evening on 2 Corinthians chapter 3, particularly to the last verse of this chapter, where we find at the end, in which this verse speaks to us, and the Apostle Paul makes one of the greatest declaration of the life transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ you will find in all his New Testament writings. He writes according to the effect that it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What a good news! The Lord is shouting to us at this very moment. What is unveiling to us? God is unveiling to us at this very moment. What a good news for all of us, God's people. That is to all of us who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus from our past sins. But who also long for growth in personal holiness. And we need that every day of our lives. Growth in personal holiness. What good news that is for those of us who long to be like our blessed Lord and Master, but who feel so fallen short. It is the promise of ultimate victory in our lives, even right at this very moment. So let us continue to focus on the Word of God for us. We who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior are in this process of the enabling power of God through the Holy Spirit, in the process of daily beholding, daily of being transformed from our old ways of life into a new way of life. We are a people in the process of transformation. And I pray that you will be focused on this and understand this process. Most of the time, we are not aware of this process, and we need it. And because of our proneness to sin, sometimes we forget that we are in this process since the day one of our salvation. And the end goal of this process of transformation is that we will be completely transformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. As Paul put it in Romans 8, verse 28 to 29, this is what it says. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The good work that God has begun in us, the good word of our salvation, is one that he will see to it to full completion, according to Philippians 1, verse 6.
And that completion, that end product of transformed saints of God is our total conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. Let's put that in the forefront of our thought right now. The end product of God saving us is our total conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. Even all the way to the measure of Jesus' full glorification in his present state in the heavenly realm at this very moment. That is his continuous outworking and outpouring to us through his word and the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might draw to that process. As the Apostle John put it in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a wonderful prospect is it? Not for us. We must take notice of this truth. I hope that you will continue to read that at this very moment, that we will in focus to this transforming power of God in our lives. Now, if you are familiar with the doctrines of the Bible, and I suspect you are, then you will recognize this is the doctrine of sanctification. That is that work of the Holy Spirit by which we are increasingly delivered from the sinful practices of the past and are brought daily into greater conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. It is a work that will not end until we are made to be like Jesus in the fullest sense, so that he truly is the firstborn among many brethren. Oh, how grateful we should be that this is a work. And we must be aware of this work of God in us through the Holy Spirit. It is a work that the Holy Spirit does for all those who are in Christ. And it is one that will not fail. Remember this. So don't be discouraged if sometimes we fail and stumble in sin, but let's continue to rise up and confess our sin. 1 John 1:8 says that, so that this process will continue with ascending power of the Holy Spirit that will be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a delight it is to know this, isn't it? We fail to recognize this on a daily basis. That's why I thank God for bringing my attention to this passage. But as you can see from this verse, we have a significant part to play in this progressive work of our sanctification. Just as we tend to become like whoever it is that we focus on and learn about, it is our part in this process to make sure that we keep our constant focus on Jesus Christ. We are to study his biography, his life, actually, the life that you led in this world. We must study his biography as it is given to us in the scriptures, and to allow ourselves to be transformed by what we see of him being exposed to us before our eyes and our minds in the Holy Scriptures. Looking back now in our text, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, let me read it again. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So this thing is not our own making. This transforming power that God is doing in our lives on a daily basis, and sometimes we don't feel it, but we must pray that we will feel it and recognize it by the leadership of the Holy Spirit in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that we must enjoy by realizing it now, and the word of God speaks to us now. Paul, in this verse, is declaring that the more we fix our gaze or our look upon the indwelling Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, the more the Holy Spirit transforms us into Christ's own image, His image of holiness and righteousness. Oh, how we long that, isn't it, in our prayers? We hear it. But after that, do we continually ask God to do that process, that transformation? And so if we want to become increasingly like Him in this world, and that every part of the world that places us, particularly our church and our immediate family and immediate neighbors, that's what we need to do, is to focus our minds on Christ's image, Christ's character. Now, to really understand this remarkable declaration in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we need to think of it in the context in which it was given. Paul was writing to his believing brothers and sisters in the ancient city of Corinth about the difference between what the Bible calls the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And in our Bible study this week, last week, some young people are asking, what is that difference of Old Testament and New Covenant and the Old Covenant? Well, let's define what a covenant is in the first place. A covenant was basically an agreement that God made with His people. And in the Old Covenant, the agreement that God made with the Jewish people was that His blessings would rest on them if they kept the law that He gave to them through Moses. You see the point? But the Old Testament had a terrible problem attached to it. In their own power, and sometimes in our own power also, God's covenant people couldn't keep God's law. Whoever perfected God's law? No one. Except the one who gave His life for us, the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. All that the Old Covenant could do, remember this, was to condemn them and result in death and loss. It was not that there was anything wrong with the law of God. Far from it. The law was good, and the covenant that it was based on was glorious. Rather, it was something wrong with the people. They just like all of us, were fallen because of the sin of their ancient father, Adam, or Adam. You might say that all that the Old Testament did was to demonstrate the problem. Of course, that's true, but there's something in it that we need to learn. We need to learn that the law could not bring solution to our sin problem. Sinners are good to do perfectly doing all the law requires. You know, the law requires perfection. And if we miss the one of the law, it's useless. We will not pass and prosper in the sight of God, because God is so holy and righteous. And so when the time was right in God's redemptive program, He established a new covenant. It was a covenant that resulted in life. Because whereas the Old Covenant was mediated through Moses, the New Covenant is also mediated through God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And whereas the Old Covenant is mediated, failed because people could not keep true to their hearts God's holy standard in the law. Remember, God requires perfection in executing or doing what the law requires. And nobody passed this requirements. And so that's the problem. We are, because of our sinful nature, we could not perfectly follow the law of God. And now the new covenant succeeds Because God now graciously puts his law into the hearts of people who believe on his son, which are his followers, the disciples, the followers, or the Christian who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and places the Holy Spirit in them. And now the Holy Spirit, which indwells in us, be conscious of this and put it in the forefront of our mind, that the Holy Spirit empowers his redeemed people. So we should not be looking down at ourselves when we fail, but cry to God in utter humility for God to bring us up and behold his face and mercy and glory and his grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit empowers his redeemed people and help them to live as true covenant people, people in whom the life of Jesus Christ is increasingly lived out and perfected. But it is our part of the agreement in the new covenant. We absolutely must keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, the mediator of this new covenant. We must never think, listen to this, we must never think that we can just simply pray to receive him as our Savior and carry on with our life in our own power. Ignoring him, going on without him, without wisdom and direction, but living in daily dependence upon a relationship with him. It must be our constant focus of attention and the primary love of our hearts. We must continually fix our gaze upon the indwelling Lord Jesus, because the more we do so, the more the Holy Spirit transforms us into Jesus' own image. That's the key to our part in this glorious new covenant. Let us briefly look at this verse in a bit more detail and see how this process of conforming us and getting all our attention and hearts and minds so that we will be in this process of being sanctified by God, focusing and beholding the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us notice, first of all, the provision. Paul tells us in this verse that we gaze upon Jesus our Lord with unveiled face. Unveiled face. But it doesn't mean that it is our own face that is unveiled, as if it were our own vision that was made perfectly unhindered. The word that he uses in the original language means unhidden, uncovered, unveiled. It is put in the perfect tense that which suggests once for all completed act. And the literal translation is this: with being perfectly unveiled face. With being perfectly unveiled face. That's the literal translation. And that wouldn't be true of our own sense of vision of Christ, because very often we fail in our vision because of our own sinful imperfections and destructions. Rather, it is Jesus' own face that is the thing that is unveiled. Okay? When we behold Christ's face, we see him totally. There's no more cover. Remember that drape and curtain when it was hanging on that cross and lost his last breath? That curtain was pulled down, which means to say that everyone has an access to the throne of God. Every believer, everyone who comes to Christ as his Lord and Savior, there is no more veil that separates his people from God and through his throne of grace. That is the thing. So that as we look a little farther away, ways into the understanding of this, at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 6, Paul talked about the great plainness with which he and the other apostles proclaimed the gospel. And he said, but even if our gospel is, but even if our gospel there you go. But even if our gospel is built, it's built to those who are perishing, those whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 to 6. So then, in this text, it is not our face that Paul is speaking of, but rather the face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his Son, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And by gazing upon him, we are provided with all that we know, all that we need to know of the Father. And this means that there is now nothing that hinders us from knowing God, the Father, fully through Jesus Christ. His face, unlike the face of Moses, that is veiled whenever he comes down from the mountain of Sinai to the people, his face is always veiled. And when he comes back, God's face is unveiled. He saw the glory. Not the totality of the face, but part of it, as the scripture says. And so, see this and understand this? The face of our Lord Jesus Christ, unlike the face of Moses, is completely unveiled once and for all time when we are now member of the new covenant people. Everything is clear to us when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, everything is veiled because of the attitude, sinful attitude of the people. You see, all of this veiled thing, veiled discovering, was removed by our Lord Jesus Christ by dying on the cross for our sin. And we can now see his glory, God's glory, in the face of his dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the question is, how do we behold his glory? By the way, obviously, it's not with physical eyes. Rather, this is the second thing, the action which our Lord's face, the face that reveals the Father fully to us, is completely unveiled. And we are to respond by beholding as in a mirror of the glory of the Lord. That's how we must respond to the great revelation of God in the face of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So the question I just raised a while ago, how do we behold this glory? Obviously, it's not with physical eyes. Rather, I believe it's through the Holy Scriptures preserved for us and illuminated to us by the Holy Spirit. It is his divine role to shine the spotlight upon Jesus for us. And he does this through the scriptures. When we read the Old Testament stories and prophecies and Psalms, we are learning about Jesus, the eternal second person of the Trinity. And we are encountering his holy character from the things that we read about him in the scriptures. When we read the gospel, we are reading the story of his walk, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are really, we are actually how reading and unfolding before us how we walk on earth and his sacrifice of love for us. One of the Bible teacher in America, Dr. John Mitchell, used to tell his students that we need to read a little bit from Gospels every day in our reading, because we are to imitate Jesus in the way we live. And it's through those Gospels that we learn what Jesus did as he walked on this earth. When we read the book of Acts, we learn about the work of the Holy Spirit. In shining the light of Jesus into this world. And when we read the writings of the apostles in the New Testament, we learn the truths and doctrines about Jesus that the Holy Spirit wanted us to learn. We are continually, we are being drawn to our Lord Jesus by continually gazing upon him and beholding his glory through the scriptures. That's something for us to learn, isn't it? Sometimes we just read without beholding the face of Christ. This is, when we do that, we are actually beholding the face of the glorious face of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's good news for all of us. So let's truly study the Word of God with great delight. It's not just, you know, mechanically reading it, but by doing so, we are actually being led and drawn in beholding the holy face of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Good news, isn't it? So that is what the Holy Spirit do. We are continually being gazing upon Jesus and beholding his glory through the scriptures in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that what the Apostle Paul says about this is one of the most encouraging and wonderful things we can think of with respect to our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is so united with himself to those of us who believe on him and as so permanently taken up residence in us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that we don't have to travel around the world or sweep through the heavens when we are hiding the plane. We see the dwelling place of Jesus Christ looking back at us in reflection. We are the dwelling place. He is a resident to every believer. Look, when we behold his face, we are actually his residence. And we behold him. We find our true selves in gazing upon him in his glory. And then, and continually looking into this process, we must next consider the process. Paul says in the same text, 2 Corinthians 3:18, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We, and that's the word there in 3:18, we all are being transformed from glory to glory. The word all that he's speaking of is in all the people of the world. It's not speaking of all the people of the world, because not all people of the world believes in Jesus. Rather, Paul is speaking of those people who are truly covenant people of God, who have placed their faith in Jesus, our Lord, and in whom Jesus dwells, and who, as the ongoing habit of their lives, keep their gaze, keep their looking, keep their beholding upon him in his glory through the scriptures. It is they who are being transformed. I love how Paul says that of those of us who place their faith in Jesus Christ. We all of us who put their trust in Christ are being transformed. There are no exceptions. Only God's chosen people. For some of us, transformation is quick and dramatic. For others of us, the transformation is slow and gradual. Don't worry about that. God has his way of making that process in his own time programming that will complete his plan, that we will be transformed from glory to glory in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's not be, whether we are slow or gradual, or sometimes we stumble. Let's continue to get up and ask forgiveness of our sin and replace that with and recharge our batteries in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, but in the end, in all of us in whom he has begun his good work, the Holy Spirit will bring that work to full completion. Amen? Praise the Lord. He will do that. He will never fail that because he has marked us and chosen us for salvation. All of us in whom Jesus dwells are progressing towards the goal of transformation into his image. Are you aware of that? Day by day, when we are drawn in prayer to him, in reading his word, we are drawn closer to him. Let us be aware of that. Sometimes we are not, but let's be aware. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. And I love how that word is said, transform, being transformed, is put in the present tense of the verb. It is suggesting an ongoing, continual action. We are all in the process of being transformed day by day in an ever-increasing way. It's going to be a speedy work. Let us pray continually that we will not be slowed down despite of our many sin. By God's grace, we are not what we once were, but by his grace, we will be even better tomorrow, even tonight. And what is this all leading us to do? And where are we all leading us to go? Well, let's continue, consider the fourth one, which is the goal in chapter 3, verse 18 of 2 Corinthians. All who gaze upon the glory of Jesus are being transformed in an ever progressive, increasing way into the same image, and that's the word, into the same image from glory to glory. We are becoming like Jesus, and we will keep on growing until the day when we finally see him face to face. What a glorious prospect is that, isn't it? We'll see him face to face when he will take us, when he comes back for the second time. Those who are alive in Christ, he will bring them up to him. And we will be given a glorious heavenly bodies. And those who died, they will also experience that. They will be raised up. So what a glorious prospect we have, isn't it? We should not be, when we are falling down, when we are discouraged, we should look forward to that. That God will, he will take us with him. Well, that's why even when we die or when we are alive, we must be giving glory to God. We must be giving glory to God. So we who gaze upon the glory of Jesus Christ as being transformed in an ever progressive and increasing way. By God's grace, we will be fully like him, sharing forever with him his glory. That's what Jesus himself prayed. Before he went to the cross, he prayed to the Father for you and me. That is in, I'll read it. That is in John 17, verse 21 to 24. Please follow with me. This is what he prayed for all of us. Verse 21, I should say, to 24. This is what he said. He prayed. Our Lord Jesus prayed in our behalf. John 17, verse 21 to 24. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, verse 22, which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou lovest me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me wherever I am, that they may behold my glory. You see, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That's the end of the reading there. That's the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's be aware of that on a daily basis. And we must come to that prayer as well, so that we'll be aware that we are being enthused and drawn to behold the glory of Christ, the glory of God in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have often said I wouldn't dare to think of such a thing or expect such a thing if it were not for the fact that Jesus himself already prayed for it. That's where we are heading. Dear brothers and sisters, we who keep our gaze upon Jesus are destined to be completely transformed into his glory, from glory, that is his glory as the source, and to the glory that is us as the result. The end result is that we will be conformed to his image. And it isn't we ourselves who make all things happen. Note finally the means. If it were all up for us or to us, it would fail. It's not our effort. Sometimes we try to attract God, try to impress him with our good works by being busy in his ministry and try to do more for him. But we miss the point. Sometimes we fail to behold his glory, to be more like him. So that as we do his ministry, it is not us who is being seen by people, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the difference. When we do his will and we are beholding his glory, then people will be attracted to God because they see Jesus in us. What a wonderful that it is, isn't it? That's the difference of attracting people to Christ. Not with the way we speak, with flowery words, when we preach or when we say the word of salvation in the scriptures. It is Christ in us doing it through us. What a wonderful thing and means to be transformed, isn't it? It is not us. It will fail, just as in the case of the old covenant. It's all up to us. It is not all up to us, I should say. As Paul says, in this transformation, occurs just by the Spirit of the Lord. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, not our, our motivations, not our own, drive to do more. Sometimes we are being driven by ourselves, but let's be careful, it will fail. Be sure that it is the Holy Spirit working in us, becoming and beholding the face of Jesus Christ so that people will see in of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. They see actually Christ in us. What a wonderful thing to know and to really develop and understand and put it in the forefront of our lives daily. So that when they see the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the difference when we invite people, they come. Because it's not us that sometimes we fail. People fail. Oh boy, people, I invite these people many, many years, and they don't come. No, let's pray for them, that they see Christ in us. I'll continue in the end. Now, as the Holy Spirit of the Lord is doing this, as the Apostle Jude put it in the end, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, in Jude 24, it's only one chapter anyway, that is, in verse 24, or Jude 24, I would say. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, that is from sinning, or to even be allowing ourselves to be tempted, but to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. As this verse shows us then, the more we fix our spiritual gaze upon the indwelling Savior and Lord of our lives, our Lord Jesus Christ, the more the Holy Spirit transforms us into Christ's own image. It is truly a transforming gaze. Oh, may we pray more that we will continue to be transformed by gazing upon the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, with all our hearts, let's be sure that in all our doings, we keep the gaze of faith continually upon Jesus, our Lord, Jesus Christ, all the way to the completion of our walk on this earth. Let us not get tired of it. Sometimes when we open the fall into sin, we are discouraged. Sometimes when we don't answer to our prayer, we are discouraged. No. God is looking the intents of our hearts. And we walk according to his ways in holiness and righteousness and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Nothing is impossible to God. Remember that. So all the way to completion of our walk on this earth will be completed, according to Philippians 1:6. He who started a good work in us will surely fulfill it in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The day of our Lord Jesus Christ is not only when he comes back, he's doing it every day. Remember that. Oh, what a glorious completion it will be, isn't it? And I say to that, amen. God bless you all. May we pray. Heavenly Father, do this continuous transformation in our lives for your glory and for our spiritual benefit and joy in walking with thee on this earth and be a faithful servant of thine, a faithful people that demonstrates the love of Christ and his saving grace to all people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's now come to our final hymn. I think probably, yeah, so we will, yeah, that's the hymn that I chosen, 393, I'm pressing upward, the upward way. 393 in our redemption hymnal, 393, and not the redemption hymnal, I'm sorry, Christian hymns, is it that? Okay. Oh yeah, it's in
redemption.
Yeah, 393. Okay. I just misread it. Okay, that. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. 393. I'll just flipping to my face now. In a few seconds. 393. I'm pressing on the upward way. 393. Redemption hymnal. Let me up and let me see. hearts arise. Ever fierce is pain. Those are made well, worthy of all. My course and aim is higher ground. Forgive me of and let me stand. My feet on land, then stable land. Where love and joy and light above. Beyond the mist, I paint the frost to rest it down and climb its skies. My other star, more peace is found by those who dwell on higher ground. Then let me stand. I pray on heaven's faithful land. Where love and joy and light above, nor plant my feet on higher ground. I long to scale the utmost height, the rough no wind and hard the fight. My soul will climb with those around, those ready you they are. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My feet on heaven's stable land. Where love and joy and light above. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up on the side. I dare not climb without my God, and heaven gain again around. Be grateful, heart from higher ground. Lift me up and let me stand. Be in bed and stay let's now close in prayer. Turning to Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to prevent you and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you everyone for participating in this glorious worship and abounding with grace.